This episode of the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you by Drama, a state, situation, or series of events involving interesting or intense conflict of forces. And by viewers like you.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to a special edition, a late night edition of the Webcomic Beacon. Crossfire! No, I'm just kidding.
Oh boy.
This is Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me we have several characters, including, let's see, I'm going to say the last name wrong. Don't tell me. Rebecca Heineman?
Yes, you got it right the first try.
Yay, of SailorRanco.com. Welcome
Ronco.
To the show. What?
It's pronounced Ronco.
Ronco.
Think of all the cheesy TV commercials.
Yes. I don't watch TV.
Pocket Fisherman.
I think it's spelled differently, though.
It is.
Well, there you go. You can't compare. Also, we have Tomcat, who just, I guess you just linked to 910 CMX.
910 Comics, yes, 910cmx.com. And you can call me by the real name, that's Thomas Revor, long E, long O.
Okay, Tom. And we also have Ben Carver of Point Guardian and Hero Academy. I remembered it this time, yay.
Yes, you did, and I'm glad to be on tonight. It's... looking forward to clearing up a lot of bad air that happened and all that good stuff.
Hey, I said not to eat at Taco Bell.
I don't like Mexican food. You know that.
I like Taco Bell.
Taco Bell isn't Mexican food.
I prefer Taco John's myself.
Where all the bad tacos go.
I like Taco John's myself. Potato Olays.
I read an article on Consumerist that they have very rude employees there.
Wait, where?
On Consumerist.
No. They have bad employees where?
At Taco John's.
Well, it depends on where you go. Where I go, they don't really care. I mean, they're kids. So it's like, whatever. I mean, I don't care. I want Taco John's.
Are you Johnson for some tacos?
Well, you see, Taco John's is one of the few taco places, what I found, where the pictures of the food that you buy actually looks like the food you get on the tray. Versus, say, Taco Bell.
Like tacos that it sat on?
Well, yeah, like Taco Bell, I usually go up to the counter and say, look at this. Does this look like that? I want another taco, please. And I usually do get more tacos because otherwise it's like false advertising.
Mm-hmm. Well, not really. There's a lot of rules in food advertising saying you have to take pictures of food using the real ingredients. It's just that there's no rule saying you can't touch the ingredients up a little bit.
Well, unless they shove all of the ingredients just to be the front and they have, like, I don't know, styrofoam packing, holding it up in the back.
No, they're allowed to do that. I saw a very educational video on that where to make the patties look bigger, they cut a wedge out of it in the back and sort of spread it a little bit.
I thought they just took a helium tube and inflated it like a balloon. That explains a lot.
All right. Speaking of which, this brings us back to the topic of Ben is a dunce.
I'm not a dunce as much as I've heard the same thing from several different people.
Would dupe, patsy, or fool qualify?
Possibly. So to recap, if anybody has listened to Webcomic Beacon episode 102, I think, which was fan fiction. We had, a rather ripe discussion, mostly about fan fiction in general, but there was a time that we did go over some sort of intercomic drama, which seems to be entirely one-sided and misinformed, and Ben had basically had expelled his frustrations towards Becky of Sailor Renko.
Ronco. Marco.
And I'd like to apologize for doing that. It's like I said, I got information from And I have to stress it was for more than just one party, though. But I did get information that turned out later to be false. And I'm very sorry for venting my frustration the way I did. It's just that, you know, when I hear something from more than one person, I believe it to be true, is, you know.
Jump on that bandwagon! Yeah. What?
Well, all I can say is that my email address is public, and at any time you could have just simply contacted me.
It doesn't seem right, you know, especially when, you know, you hear bad things about a person. You don't ever think, oh, I hear bad things about a person. I'm just going to go up and contact them.
Well, that's part of what we have over at 910. I mean, if you find a problem with any of the comics over at 910 Comics, such as Sailor Ronco, don't hesitate to contact us or post on our forums. All the members that we have accept criticism rather well. And if you do find a problem with any specific member, you know, our admins, such as myself, we'll be more than glad to step in and mediate. That's what happened with previous problems, and we find it works pretty well.
All right, all right. I'll remember that for next time. But like I said, the biggest thing is, you know, I was given the impression that Becky was not only aware of the existence of my project, but outright told Irwin to reprioritize, and I found out that was entirely false.
So it sounds like there's some other sour parties involved trying to exact revenge via other people, which is kind of, you know, bad form as well. So
yes, and I always intended from the start to bring up a little blur, but it was not going to be quite as mean-spirited as what actually happened.
I think part of it was kind of the energy that was already leading up to it, especially Tanya. Holy crap, did she have a tirade about fan fiction.
Oh, my God. She was, like, really going off on fan fiction.
I had an email asking, what the fuck was Tanya drinking and where can I get some? I think
that was probably from my friend Hounder. It was
actually from Ron Howard, who does Tangents.
Oh.
Oh, so I see the Mayberry thing didn't work out for him, so...
No.
Yes, it's... well... But yeah, like I said, it was just, you know, it was, you know... Especially for this case, it was bad information. And, you know, part of it was a lot of different factors from a lot of different parties, you know. You know, number one, it was... Irwin never, you know, after a certain point, never communicated further with me, except for minimally... And disappeared for weeks on end. And then, you know, I heard from your former artist that they are told to do that.
He said, she said.
And, you know.
Yeah, and let's just say that he's been telling people, a lot of people, including all of my other artists, about negative things. It's basically bad form. And it's a shame that it ended up being the way it was with you getting this information. I hope that both Irwin and I have cleared the air, because what people hear here is that Irwin actually spoke to Ben directly to basically clear the air as well, letting him know that a lot of the things that Ben was told was not true.
Yes, and well, to be fair, you know, it's I do have a new artistic team, and no, I will not be accepting Irwin back on board. And, you know, that's...
Which is completely fair. You know, I mean, when an artist shows that he cannot handle the work and cannot be trusted with communication, that unprofessionalism has to have some sort of repercussions on it, such as not getting the job back.
Which is a shame, because, you know, he was, you know, for almost half a year, he was doing great work, and there was almost times that there were over communication, you know?
Yeah.
And, but, yeah.
Well, alrighty. Now we have that aired out. Becky.
Yeah.
As I understand the situation, Sither Ronco, has a lot of hands in it. Who does what?
Okay, let's start at the beginning. 1999, a gentleman by the name of Duncan Zillman, who went by the handle Fire, wrote a fan fiction novella called Sailor Ronco. The novella was a little rough around the edges, but it was a very good story. In 2000, another gentleman decided to write a sequel called Twice in a Millennium. His name was Kevin D. Hamill. in 2003, totally unrelated, I was trying to search the internet to try to find the real ending of Ranma 1/2 because I was a fan of the show, and the way the manga ended, I'm like, I felt ripped off. I discovered fan fiction. I discovered the novel Sailor Ranko, and I really enjoyed it. Kevin Hamill happened to have lived 20 miles from me. So I went to visit him, and I told him I had an idea to do a sequel. And I gave him the outline to do the sequel. He loved it. The whole concept was actually between myself and my daughter, Cynthia. But once I came up with the concept, I then wrote the novel, which became Sailor Ranko Tunnel Vision, which was basically Ranma, Sailor Moon, and The Terminator.
What?
Yep, if you read it, everybody who reads it loves it. I mean, I'll right now confess the grammar is not so good. It was my first novel, so please be gentle.
It was Sailor Moon and The Terminator.
Yep, but it was no holds barred. People are getting killed. It's very brutal. I mean, it literally is the same tone, very dark, as a Terminator film. Yeah. But you'd have these lucky characters being shoved into a sci-fi thriller, and they're getting killed. Well, afterwards, I then get a hold of Duncan Zillman. He loved the novel. He said he could not believe anybody could write a novel with the Terminator against Ranma and Sailor Moon and actually make it work. So therefore, he gave me the rights to his book. And so did both Duncan and Kevin gave me the rights to Sailor Ranko and said, do whatever you want with it. I mean, so I wrote another book, Sailor Ranko, Just Add Water, which is just Haplosai summons a demon, mayhem, just funny as all get out. And then I did another sequel called The Harder They Fall, which is with Godzilla. And then I'm currently working on a novel called Thrice in a Million, which I really need to get back to. But during this whole thing, I then got involved with the 910 Comics group because of my love of video games, and I noticed there was a comic I kind of liked called The Watch, and they wanted to do a video game based on it using the Nintendo DS. I joined the team for a short while, but during this time, I actually made a lot of friends in the webcomic communities and so forth and realized, hey, it doesn't really seem that hard to make a comic. Because I already have a long writing background. I've worked in video games for a long time, so I know about cinematography. I mean, I've done all this stuff. So it's really nothing more than an extension of my skill. So I thought maybe I could do a web comic based on Sailor Ranko. When I first started the project, it was supposed to be kind of like a joke, in which I wanted to do just one chapter just to see if I even, had any talent whatsoever.
Right.
I hired an artist. And I wasn't even really picky as to what artist I was doing because I was just wanting to practice writing. That's what the whole purpose of me doing the comic in the first place was, just so I can be a better writer.
Okay.
And I started the comic, and it became immensely popular because both the fans from my novels of Sailor Ranko series jumped on board, but there's all these people who've never heard of the novel before, and they started reading the comic, and they liked it. Well, as time went on, I just kept getting more and more pages and getting more and more up until around chapter 8, which by then I had a falling out with my artist, and that's where the comic went on hiatus for a couple of months. But by the time I got to chapter 8, my writing had gotten to the point where people were noticing that the comic was really, really good, except for the art. That was always the thing they kept complaining about, saying, writing's great, art sucks. And I said, I know I'm doing everything I can to make my writing better. I mean, I constantly am asking people for criticism. I say, what can I do better? Because I want to be a better writer.
Right.
Unfortunately, the art just didn't improve over time. So after that thing, I kind of really thought, I'm done with the comic. I'm going to start doing my own original work, which basically I started work on a comic called My Reflection and another comic called Unsung Heroes. Both of these comics are still in... Well, My Reflection is actually the first chapter is almost done, but these Unsung Heroes, I'm just done with pre-production. And Unsung is actually, I've got a publisher already interested in it. So it may go directly to press. But the only reason I was even capable of doing these two comics was because of my experience of doing 8 chapters of Sailor Ranko, the webcomic.
It's still going, Roy.
Which one?
Sailor Ronco's still going, right?
Yes. Well, that's what I'm getting to. I then, besides the artist who was doing my reflection, said she wanted to do Sailor Ronco. And so I then started restarting Sailor Ronco back at Chapter 9. And we've been moving on. So Chapter 9 is halfway through. I've given the scripts to Azuka, and she's going to be doing the next one. But it's kind of like, you know, I'm not really going whole hog. I'm not, like, producing a page a day anymore. I'm taking a lot more easy, especially since right now I just moved, and the stress of my job starting to build up on me because I have a lot of work I got to do for my day job.
Right.
But then I was approached, I was introduced to, as this may unfortunately open up a wound, Ben, but I'm sorry, I was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Irwin, who is an artist, and he then said, you know, he can go ahead and do some work on Sailor Ronco, and I actually turned him down, saying, I've already got Azuka. I don't need anyone else. So on his own, he started doing a redraw of the first few pages of Sailor Ronco. And when I saw the redraw, my jaw dropped because it was that good. And I'm like, holy crap. If you can make the comic look this good, it's going to be an awesome comic. So at that point, I then entered into an agreement with him. And I just basically said, whenever you give me a page, I'll pay the standard fee and we'll do it. But there's no deadlines because it's a redraw. It's not like I care. But that right now, as it is today, chapters 1 and 2 of Sailor Ronco are completely redrawn and they look awesome. It's the same story. In fact, occasionally I may actually alter the page or two to fix the scripting, fix a few things, you know, errors that were there to begin with.
Right.
But that's what's going on with the comic right now. And that's basically, you know, my current story right now with the webcomic and Sailor Ronco. So, you know, I own, you know, the IP as far as Sailor Ronco is concerned. I've already talked with Viz, and Viz is all ready to go to, you know, let me work with the Rama characters. It's just getting Toy to talk to me. This has been a problem. But until, you know, until I can actually get a deal with them, you know, Sailor Ronco will always be just a webcomic.
Wait. A deal with who?
Toy Animation. They're the ones who are the licensors of Sailor Moon in Japan.
Okay.
However, though, there's also Princess Naoko Productions, which is run by her husband. And as it is now, they're just not really interested in licensing Sailor Moon to anyone outside of Japan. So it's kind of an impasse right now. It does help the fact that I speak Japanese and I was able to talk to them directly. Mm. But right now, it's just basically just a wait and see. But it's like, again, it's one of those, it's a hobby. So I'm not really putting any real effort into it. I'm not, like, trying to put any money into it or something like that.
Right.
It's just something I do for fun with the sole purpose of Sailor Ronco, for me anyways, is to tell a great story and to be a better writer.
Well, alrighty. I do have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What planet is Ronco from?
What?
What planet is Ronco from, or what is she supposed to represent? I know a...
Sailor Sun.
The Sun, okay.
Yeah, she's Sailor Sun.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Well,
there's a whole backstory that hasn't been told, but I've got like a writer's guide. I know everything that happens in the Sailor Ronco universe, but
okay.
Bottom line, there was never a Sailor Sun in the past, but due to circumstances, a Sailor Sun was created, and I haven't explained exactly the nature of that, but it'll happen in around chapter 15 of the comic, it'll be explained.
And you only plan to do one or two chapters originally.
Yeah. I mean, originally, I just wanted to see at first, how badly do I suck? That was really the question I was trying to answer.
Most people don't try to find that out.
Well, I did. And I then found out I sucked less. And as time went on, I sucked a lot less, and then I stopped sucking.
Well, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and during this time, the audience can think about whether or not if they suck or if they blow. We'll be right back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
So, all right. So we have the 910 CMX community. Tom?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, the 910 comics community started off the way that a lot of the comics in it started off, and that is as fans of The Watch. There are a lot of creative people out there, and everyone started doing something on their own. I got into it because I, for some ungodly reason, am a network administrator, and I started helping out with Anonymous, the writer and artist of it, and Robin Erickson, who is the colorist and both creators of the comic, when they came under attack from less than savory characters, let's say. From there, things happened. I mean, just started creating communication between them and other webcomic creators. You'll notice that a lot of fillers have come in very quickly when someone has a problem because there's someone behind the scenes making all the contacts. And I figured, what better way to utilize that than to create a community off of it? So what started off as just Watch and the Watch forums exploded into all these other webcomics, and 910 simply is just a way for people to communicate amongst each other, spread ideas, goodwill, have a community for it, and go from there.
So I have to ask, well, because of the nature of the show is kind of like a revisit to fan fiction. Was a lot of like the extra stuff that people were doing were extensions or fan fiction or something like that based on The Watch or The Watch world?
No. We have one comic that could actually be said came from that, and that was from Eric Kimball, a.k.a. Drowamos, a mutual friend of ours. Who started off doing a comic, which was a fan fiction of The Watch. And he figured, you know, people are liking this. Let's see what else I can do. And he started doing a conglomeration of different things that he liked. And one just took off, which became his webcomic, Extern. EXIERN.com. One of these days, we're going to have to teach this boy how to spell.
Well, also, don't forget Seltzabar comic.
Exactly. That was another one. We had another person who did a direct spinoff of The Watch called Cheer, which utilized some of the characters that Anne had created as background characters and just sort of took on their own life. And we all know how dangerous that can be. So he's done a beautiful work, all pencil work rather than inking and coloring. And that just became its own comic that still ties in, but only on the periphery of it.
So,
but everything else has had, you know, it's just people who were fans of The Watch but did their own thing.
So hold on. So tell me about Cheer. So Cheer is a fan comic derivative?
You can't really call it a derivative. I mean, a spinoff is probably the best term for it.
But it's not necessarily sanctioned is what I'm saying.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is? Ah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's
anytime that anytime Seltzabar has something that's going to be a major impact upon one, or if he wants to get clarification on something, he'll always check with Anne before anything else goes in.
Interesting. That's
and then the cool. Basic plots are always cleared by Anne because he recognizes this as a spinoff, and therefore he wants everything approved by him, by Anne.
Cool. I that's kind of a cool thing. I don't have the right word for it. Okay, there's also there used to be a podcast for a while. I know that.
There is. It's just a matter of real life interfering. The 910 Comics podcast came about thanks to C.D. Rudd, who does the webcomic Sailor Sun.org.
Sailor Sun.org.
Yeah, we've got too many Sailor comics here. All we need is Popeye, and we've got the trifecta.
Yeah, I've been on that show a couple of times. I had to stop listening to it because topics were converging way too often between that show and The Beacon, and then we were trying to listen to the Gigcast and steal their stuff. And so we just, I limit which webcomic podcast
I
listen to.
We borrow.
Oh, sure.
But the 910 Comics webcomic chat came about simply because we've got people who have been doing this for a little while. I mean, Anne's been doing this for 7 years, 8 years now. Back me up on this, Becky.
And talk about the watch. She started in 2002. So I think it's about 8 years now. That's almost 8 years.
Almost 8 years. Well, 7 years coming up on 2010 will be our the eighth year. Then we've got people like myself who's been, my God, I was doing newspaper and radio work back when disco was still around.
You're old.
I'm old. I know I'm old. Becky, who's been doing professional writing for her profession. We've got people who have been artists and are trained artists. So we just said, you know what? Let's utilize some of our experience and let's have something so that people can hear some of the trials and tribulations that we have in the webcomic world. What works, what hasn't worked, what can be tried, and help some of these up and comers come out. Because webcomics are basically, I've always said, webcomics are the new frontier. The print media is going to be very limited. And with things like Diamond Distribution, who has a stranglehold on print comics, everything has to go through them. Even the big boys like DC and Marvel go through Diamond. Webcomics are the way that Joe Schmo in Idaho can say, you know what? I've got a little bit of talent in writing. I've got a little bit of talent in art. Let me do something and get people to see it.
Right. There are of course, people that will say that.
Freelance or things that have gone professional, like, and don't say anything, Ben, Megatokyo.
He's not really a professional. He doesn't have the work ethic of a professional.
He's
an amateur that got very, very lucky.
Yes.
There are different ways to look at the word professional. If you're making money off of something, of what you do, that is a profession. Therefore, you are professional in that aspect. If you're an immature jerk, that is improfessional. But then we can argue semantics all day. And, of course, it's the internet, and we all know how useful that is.
Yes, we do.
But all right, so tell me some of the comics you have that are associated through the 910 CMX community.
Oh Lord, you're gonna make me call up my own site because I don't remember who we have
off the top of your head. Let's start with Abstract Gender.
Okay, Abstract Gender actually went to hiatus about a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to pick on it.
Yeah. However, I mean, they have gone on to other things. In fact, the last artist on Abstract Gender, if I remember correctly, was Asuka, who's doing this little-known webcomic called Sailor Ronco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so why are you picking on Abstract Gender?
Why am I picking on Abstract Gender? Well, they went through, like, 5 million artists. And I always liked the first or second one, I thought, but
it's just you know it's like you're trying to create more drama.
But seriously, the killing of the mom was, I think personally, a hack move.
Well, I blame Joss Whedon for that one.
Oh boy, yeah, you can't blame Joss Whedon for everything. Yeah. You know, he's not John Stamos.
Don't people know that rape is the new dead parents? No. Anyway.
But let's go ahead and
it is 12.
Is that your old antique clock?
No, that's my new antique.
You are old. No.
Hey, I let you know I had that since I was a kid. So,
no,
I had to chase all the dinosaurs for it.
They're coming. But
let's go ahead and some of the other comics that we have. I'll go through alphabetical order. We've got one called Angels and Aliens. That's www.littlelievers.com/angels, which is sort of a science fiction adventure one. Angel of St. Thomas, which takes place down in St. Thomas, of course. Science fiction, fantasy-ish, but no real angels in it. We've got Cheer. We've got, this one that some hack writes called Cross Worlds, which is actually another spinoff comic spun off from John Lotshaw's Accidental Centaurs, another 910 member. Artwork done by Darren Brown and, like I said, this hack writer who shall remain me. Excern, EXIERN.com, by the man who cannot spell. Hero in Training, Heroes of Crash, MSF High, Ruby Thursday, Sailor Ronco, Sailor Sun, Tri-Ketra Cats, and then, of course, other comics such as Coyote Dance, My Reflection from Becky, I Dream of a Genie Bottle, and we've got to get him to change that title. from C.D. Rudd, who does Sailor Sun. And then our newest member is this obscure webcomic that really wasn't going anywhere called El Goonish Shive.
All right, yeah. I remember that one.
And let me go ahead and interject on that one, because there was a lot of misunderstandings on the fans as to why Dan came to 910. To set the record straight, and I don't want to go into too much detail, Dan left Keen Spot.
Right.
Okay. When I heard that Dan was leaving Keen Spot, you can bet I jumped on that opportunity, and I offered Dan server space and the software that we use over at 910 to give him a home. You know, why should, after Dan's put in all this work with El Goonish Shive and made an extremely popular comic, why should he have to go five steps backwards and run his own server again and write his own software again and do all that, when what we are is to help out webcomics?
Mm-hmm.
So EGS came over to 910, and he's been happy ever since.
Well, already, I guess I can't see why there's confusion about that. I mean, I gathered that because I was watching El Goonish Shive for a long time. I even had him on the show, actually.
Yeah, you did. That was like a week after you had me.
So that was the apology episode, huh?
No. In fact, I was very anxious to talk to him because I was a big fan. It was actually the episode after my inking episode that I was on.
The big problem with what happened is that a lot of people thought that we courted Dan away from Keen Spot. And just the opposite happened.
I think anybody who has worked around Keen Spot would know that's not true for
with the
especially
well,
what's coming
reasons.
Out now. You know,
I don't want to say anything about that because there are, you know,
I'm not saying any names or circumstances. I'm just
everyone.
Saying
Ben,
obvious reasons.
Let Tom finish what he was saying. What, Tom?
I'm sorry.
I was saying, I mean, I don't want to say anything negative against Keen because I'm still friends with a lot of the people over at Keen. I respect the history that Keen has.
Yes, history.
So, I mean, Keen has done a lot of good for webcomics.
But what have you done for me lately?
Well.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
All the semantics out there will notice that I do speak in the past tense.
Yes. And Keen Spot is definitely something that we might be talking about on a coming episode on a mishmash show of stuff. It all depends on who we get on the show and what topics go where. But for those who do not know, Keen Spot it looks to be dissolving itself or severely restructuring itself. And that is a nice way of putting it without going into any suspected drama and whatnot. We did have, R.C. Monroe on the show last episode, in episode 103. He is one of the most neutral people I've ever seen on the internet. And as you can... You can tell we didn't really get a whole lot out of it. There is an article on Fleen about it, and you can follow the comments if you'd like. But of course, with trying to follow anything in comments on the internet these days, there's a lot of stuff going around and being thrown everywhere to throw a lot of things out of proportion. We'll just have to wait and see how things work. Well, that's about that for that subject. As far as 910 CMX, I could probably guess that there's a few going themes or genres which tend to be.
Well, considering that we all started off as fans of The Watch, and like I said, 910 grew out of The Watch. Yeah, there are going to be, but don't let that scare people off or think that we restrict to simply that. You know, webcomics are webcomics. There are good ones. There are bad ones. People
fat
can
ones, skinny
love
ones,
one.
Small ones too.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's a small world after all.
Oh my God.
Hey.
No, don't. No more singing. Song. We don't want to pay
no,
a license.
No, not that song. No.
I was also going to say there's a lot of transgendering going on.
There is in a number of the comics. There is. Not in a number of the comics that we have on there.
It's just one of those things that a lot of people will notice right away. And that's I kind of wanted to get Eric on the show because Eric wants to do a show where we talk about... what is it? basically being prejudiced about genres or topics or sites that you really don't even go to. It's like, where do I keep like misappropriating genres and comics, basically, is what the idea was, because I constantly keep referring to transgender comics as fetish comics. And you certainly can't deny that there is some fetish to that, but a lot of things can be deemed as a fetish, too.
Well, it depends on the comic itself.
True. But, of course, some readers may read it for fetish reasons, of course, so, which is, but...
There are people who read Sparky Schultz's Peanuts for fetish reasons. That doesn't mean that it's a fetish comic. And after some of the comics I've seen out there that utilizes characters in non-acceptable ways... Oh, God, I'm still bleaching my eyes after some of those comics.
I try to avoid them because, well, Fez, are you aware that I'm a transgender?
Nope.
Well, now you are.
Yay!
Yeah, I got ka-girled in real life.
Oh, that's rich. Well, alrighty.
Okay, there we go. What's the next
thing? I don't know if you're going for a reaction. I'm usually hard to actually surprise or get a reaction out of.
No, it's just that you're bringing up this issue of transgender comics. I'm like, I hope you know that someone in this phone call happens to be one.
And we could go into other comics like the very well done Venus Envy, which is about a transgendered person. Mm-hmm. But we'll save that for your next podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. So as soon as I figure out a time which Eric can get on, like not just transgender comics, of course, but like other types of comics or in general, you know, basically making a judgment about genres or comics or such like that before even you really actually read it. So some of us are better at it than others. I, for one, have not really read what is that one orc rape porn or orc rape comic or whatever that everyone just
the gloss?
No, Tanya likes it and it's like everybody else doesn't like it.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Vugloss?
I'm talking about Dominic Durgan or something like that.
Oh, Dominic.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's so
see,
much.
See, everyone says stuff like, oh, God, and the orc rape and whatever in it. And it's like, I would love to get on that bandwagon, but I have not read it, so I really can't say anything about it. So that's an example of something that I'll suspend judgment on. Same thing for, whatchamacallit, what is that one gamer, not gamer comic?
In the arcade?
CAD. That's another one which I don't really read. I haven't read enough to really justify my dislike for it, even though I can tell it's pretty bad. But
I always try to read a lot of everything, you know, because I always found whenever I try to argue with people, they want to like interject, and I have to go point by point by point until I completely demoralize them.
ooh! Speaking of going point by point to demoralize something, there is a guy. Hang on, let me find this. This has to be shared. YouTube. Go to youtube.com/user/redlettermedia, and you will be brought to a man who is who's comfortable in his own psychosis, apparently, I guess. And he does these reviews of the TNG Star Wars movies, and most recently has a 7-part review of The Phantom Menace.
Oh my God.
If you enjoy any of these movies, you will hate yourself for enjoying these movies, as he points out every incredible flaw in both writing, consistency, and the fact that it's just a really, really terrible script. But they're hilarious and they're awesome. And so go ahead and check that out. If you, I mean, talk about picking something apart.
Well, it's that reminds me of something. It's a okay.
I'm sorry. Doing a bad review of Phantom Menace. You know, hello, fish. Stay in this barrel here. Let me go get my shotgun.
There's a guy who did this awesome review of Aragon. Look on YouTube for greatest movie ever, Aragon, and it's just so funny because he does this review. He talks about how Aragon is so original, but he has like the Star Wars theme playing in the background. He's wearing a Star Wars tie.
All right. Well, there's that. I'll try to get this into the show links as well, because that's something that needs to be it needs to be pushed for other people to see. Speaking, I'm bringing up some other another thing which I need to tell. As far as fan fiction goes, some of the best fan fiction, in my opinion, is something where they can be true to the characters, but totally take them out of the element and totally make it wrong. Such as the web series There Will Be Brawl. I might have mentioned this already, but it basically takes the Nintendo characters and such from the Smash Brothers Brawl game and puts them in a dark, gritty city. And you're looking at you're watching this and you're starting to watch this and you're thinking it's like okay when are they going to just start breaking out the jokes? No, they play the characters straight, and I mean you have a Mario talking like this and doing the the over exaggerated Italian accent, and he's like really all like and he's not breaking character at all, and it's continually dark and characters are dying, and it's just so over the top horrific, especially by the end, just like holy shit. I mean, it's a fan fiction that it's live action, so there's a lot of effort put into this, and the costume design, well, most of the costumes, some of them are like the Donkey Kong ones are not very good, but it's like it's really awesome. You guys should check it out at theescapistmagazine.com. Look for There Will Be Brawl.
This is on Escapist?
Yes.
So the same people who brought us Yahtzee?
Yep.
Oh, yep. God.
So. Now, here's a good webcomic I saw. It was called Breakfast Foods of the Gods.
Oh, that one's
really
awesome!
Dark story in which all the characters of all the cereal boxes, like Toucan Sam and Captain Crunch and so forth, and they all have this really dark murder mystery story. It was brilliant.
Well, it's like, those kind of comics do make me sad, though, because, if they have these brilliant ideas, in the end, it's like the difference between, for those of you who do not know, the original pitch for Watchmen was actually using the whole entire Charlton character library.
Which DC had just purchased, and mostly they basically told Moore, nope, can't do that right now. But why don't you change those characters just a bit?
And because Moore changed those characters just a bit, he's still getting residuals. Well, if he used the Charlton backlog, it would be Steve Ditko getting those residuals.
Right. That is certainly one thing to be looking at. If you have like an original idea for existing characters, let's say, maybe if the story is good enough and you just change a little bit, I mean, maybe you could have a really good something all of on your own, of course. But then again, I would submit that some stories just won't work with other characters, and
that's certainly true.
Especially with the Breakfast of the Gods is like, you can't change that in any way. Because,
Robot Chicken sort of did a spoof like that with the Trix Rabbit, and they made a whole cocaine bit, and it, they changed the characters just enough to where they couldn't get sued, and I think it worked.
But remember that they did it because of parody and so on, but still, it was just Breakfast Foods of the Gods was just absolute sheer brilliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it wouldn't work any other way. Mm-hmm. But
we have to
go to break really quick. When we come back, we'll finish up this topic and then maybe a little bit of news if there's any. So we will be right back.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
And we're back. I really didn't expect this recording to go this long. Originally, it was just supposed to be a little bit of a shame on you, Ben, and then stick it at the end of the 102 episode.
You're getting the full episode out of this, so here you go.
As far as my plan for having us a Sunday off each month, so far it's not working.
Well, how's the webcomic world?
Oh, I've been here for over 3 years. I know
just
this.
Just 3 years, a lightweight.
Okay. Yeah, three and a half, coming up on four. And with everything that I've done, I have more done in 3.5 years than most people, I think. And that's a large bag to reach
for. You don't want me to give you my archive size again, do you?
No. I said it's a large bag to reach from, of course, with being like 20,000, you know, webcomics out there that usually die in the first year. But, you know, I have several different webcomics.
Yeah, so the percentage is about 90% die in the first 3 months.
Yeah, but we base that on absolutely nothing.
Comic Genesis is stats.
Well, that's just Comic Genesis. So then Comic Genesis doesn't have every comic out there.
Yeah. Consider
it. It's a good sample.
It's not a good sample. Comic Genesis has a handful compared to what exists out there. Look on the web.
That's why it's a sample.
It's a small sample. It doesn't
count.
You
don't understand the idea of statistics in a sample, do you?
Now, yes, I understand that people will use percentages to inflate the reasoning for their points. That's 17% of the time.
Statistics lie, and liars use statistics.
Yes. In any case.
That explains politicians.
This evening on the Webcomic Beacon special evening edition, we have a few people on that are still advertising on the Project Wonderful Things. And since this is now a full-fledged episode, I must go over them and say what they are. At our leaderboard, we have Teddy Bear Trauma. Steady there, mama. At, what is it? I'm pulling up the link, waiting for it to load. At teddybeartrauma.com. This is a site, I will say, that uses keyboard input to scroll up and down the page as well as through the archive, which I have not seen before. So that's kind of cool. Teddybeartrauma.com. Also, for our Project Wonderful Tower, we have, once again, Palupo at palupo.com. A comic of for and by criminals. And for our banner ad, we have Things Wrong With Me, Six Friends, Endless Talk. At thingswrongwithme.com, this is a comic that does webcomics in a different way. Yes, so sequential art as presented as, well, like texting or comments. Some people argue it's not really a webcomic, but I believe that Scott McCloud would count it as a webcomic.
It's got pictures. It's got text. What do you need?
Panels! Panels! No, we don't need panels.
Oh,
we're webcomics. We break the barriers.
That reminds me when people were talking about the, what was it, the Infinity Canvas or whatever it was?
Infinite Canvas, yes.
Scott McCloud's terms again.
Oh, I seen it, and I never seen it really truly work yet.
Well, let me go ahead and point you towards something. Webcomic that a friend of Becky's and mine by the name of Ian Sampson does called City of Reality, cityofreality.com, where I think this is where webcomics should be going for some of the people who have the talent, because he will have things such as one whole chapter of his comic is interactive. It's not just the sequential panels that are the traditional media like most of us use. He actually has something else going on there, utilizing the technology of the web and what's available to him.
Right.
Really? I'm looking at it right now. It looks just like a regular webcomic.
Keep reading. You'll get into it.
Ben?
A couple of panels on a page. It's well drawn, but...
Ben? I think give it some time and look at it later. But... But there are drawbacks to using the infinite canvas, and infinite canvas doesn't mean that you just keep making your comic taller and taller and taller like I used to do, just because I wanted to. Yeah, I am very, very guilty of having an incredibly tall comic. Look back to I think my original episode strip 200. Holy crap! But anyway. Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's wrong, that's quote unquote wrong with Infinite Canvas is that, well, you can't really print it. So therefore it may be less marketable unless you know how to market it right. So it's more challenging. So that's probably why people will shun away from that. But of course, that's a topic for another time. Right now, I want to check my email inbox and see what we have going on right now. Milestones this week. We have, also Bagels has hit 1 year old. And you can find that you need to, when you email me, be sure you supply the URL, please. Hang on, I think I got it. Also, bagels.com. Well, there you go. Simple enough. And
also, Bagels. Is that the one that they keep under locks and key?
I have no... Are you trying to make a joke?
Apparently, I'm not.
Nope.
See, that was worse than one of mine.
Bagels and locks.
I don't know, but yours are more frequent, Ben.
One of these days, I'm going to have to take you all down to a Jewish deli and show you this stuff.
In any case...
In any case, the world will now explode.
What do we have? Well, that's it for milestones this week. It looks like Epic Fails has hit a 1 year milestone. You can check that out at epicfail.zephyr.net. And also Farah at angelk.at/Farah. Has also hit 1 year old this week. So congratulations to everyone on your milestones. Again, if you have a milestone, 100 to 500, and then the thousands after that, or annuals, let us know. And that's a nice quick way to try to plug your comic in. We have dropped the impressions. They're not the most popular part of this show, and they're also the most difficult to do because a lot of us just don't want to be mean, and for the most part. So you can still submit your comics. We will likely not get back to you directly because we do get a lot of requests. But if there's something that happens to really pop and that we really want to go ahead and promote, we will do so, and so basically, you know, that's the reward for having a really good comic that people will like to talk about it, people will want to promote it. Other than that, we do have advertising space on the website at which you can advertise on our site when we're live on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern, typically, and basically high bidder picked at a random point will be looking at who's advertising on the site and mentioning who is advertising. We also do sell sponsor spots on the episodes themselves. You can check out more at webcomicbeacon.com/advertising. We are not whores here at the Webcomic Beacon, but we do try to cover what what costs we have and try to get us to cons. And speaking of cons, we will be at PenguinCon for barring any unforeseen tragedies. And PenguinCon, you can find out more information at penguincon.org. There we go. And that is April 30th to May 2nd in Troy, Michigan. The only thing good in Michigan lately. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, never mind. I won't go into state jokes. But.
Well, let's see. You talk about PenguinCon, but you still aren't going to switch to Ubuntu, huh?
No. Oh, I also promised to mention Eric, who's not here. He has. One of his artists are in a financial bind right now, so I'll put a link in the show notes for people that if they're interested in helping out, they can donate at least $10, and he's offering a completely unrelated image that people can get if they'd like. So go ahead and check that out. Anyway, moving on, we also have a couple of more things of interest. Somebody had emailed that politics and webcomics. There's apparently an independent running for a vacant U.S. House seat in Missouri, I believe. And I would give you the link, but the link is way too long. But apparently he has his website decked out as though a comic, where you can click on it and find out a few things. Let me see if I found the right thing. It's NILVSDCBS.com. And he does a quick little type of comics to explain a few of the things that he stands for or whatever. That's kind of a cool idea for a politician to try to, you know, hey, look at me. I'm running for stuff, and this is what I feel about things.
It's original. I'll give him that.
Be warned, it's very, very green.
Oh, boy.
It's not the best looking comic I've seen, but it looks like he's trying. In any case, that's pretty much it. If you have any questions, comments, tips, or questions, you can email the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. To look for our future episodes, you can go to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar and see what's coming down the pike. What, Ben?
So you meant green as in a rookie, not green as in Nader.
No, green as in the site is colored green.
That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah, it's very, very green. And
it's one of my favorite colors. It's the color of money.
Oh,
the ink is actually black on the green. The ink is actually black on the front, not green.
Then maybe you're colorblind. But for somebody who doesn't do any colored comics, maybe you don't understand.
I do some colors. You know that.
Speaking of which, there is going to be a black and white versus color discussion, we'll say, on the Webcomic Beacon, hopefully on the 17th. There is limbo for the 17th and 24th episodes right now, as I have an open email out for somebody to hopefully get back to do a particular topic that I want to do. So as it stands, if this person does not email me back, the 17th will be a black and white versus color discussion episode, and believe the 24th is penciled in for talking about information sharing. And we'll probably talk about a lot of different things, current events that are going on in the webcomics world. Basically, right now, that's all we have time for right now for the Webcomic Beacon. I have been awake for the past 38 hours. 28
you
hours,
said
sorry.
You said 26 earlier.
I know. Time has progressed since then, Ben.
Only thing that's progressed around here.
Yeah, progress. So I'm slightly delirious, as well as not looking forward to having to edit and post this comic in the next couple of days before the next episode. Yay! So anyway, going in order of Becky, Tom, and then Ben after myself. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
And this is Rebecca Heineman of SailorRonco.com.
Thomas Trevor, Editor-in-Chief, 910 Comics, 910CMX.com.
And the very apologetic Ben Carver of HeroAcademy.comicGenesis.com.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
Now, all we need to do is get you to apologize for your sense of humor.
That's
I don't think that's going to happen.
As soon as you apologize for that haircut.